Well, this morning we come to the second half of chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. We only have 9 verses this week. I don't know if anybody counted, but anyway, we only had 9 verses. But I did enjoy this chapter, especially there are a few things in this chapter that are very particular and only mentioned in this chapter in the entire New Testament. There are a few important things. So I think it's good to pay some attention to them and to enjoy them and to experience them. Friday night we had a very good fellowship over this chapter, and one brother brought out that before, you know, last week our verses, we did have this verses 9 through 11 that talk about the need of our entering into the kingdom of God and inheriting the kingdom. And I think it's good to remember that all of this is in this and with this view. Paul's heart and Paul's burden was that the Corinthian believers would no longer live in their soul, no longer in the lust of their flesh, but by the divine life within them, by the Christ to whom they are joined as one spirit, by this marvelous triune God who lives in them, they would overcome the self and the flesh and the lusts of the flesh and the soul, and they wouldn't have all the problems that were manifested in the church there. And I think this is a very good way to look at this chapter. It's with this view that all the believers, not just those that were in Corinth, but we ourselves also, would labor and would enjoy the Lord during our daily life, and we would experience the Lord more and more, so that a rich entrance into the kingdom of God would be afforded to us. And of course, this is related to the thousand-year millennial kingdom. And I wish we had more time. I'd like to get into that a little bit with some of the younger ones, but we won't do that this morning. But it's good to see this is in this context. And so I think maybe the best way is just to go through a few of these verses together and touch on the points that are mentioned in them, and then try to tie them up a little bit at the end. Verses 12 and 13, maybe we can read them again together. All things are lawful to me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful to me, but I will not be brought under the power of anything. Foods are for the stomach, and the stomach for foods. But God will bring to naught both it and them. For the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord the outline in the Recovery Version is helpful here. Paul is dealing with the abuse of freedom. The abuse of freedom related to food and to marriage. We are free to eat whatever we like, and we are free to get married. But the enemy has distracted many of us, many believers, to abuse this freedom. Related to food, you'll see in the later chapters, many of the Corinthians were eating meat that was sacrificed to idols. And that stumbled many of the brothers and sisters in the church there, because their conscience was weak. They didn't understand everything. All they knew was idolatry is terrible. We've forsaken idolatry. Now we have believed in the Lord Jesus. So that abuse of eating, to eat something of the idol sacrifices, was stumbling other believers. That's a serious thing. We don't want to stumble one another. So we should not abuse our freedom to eat whatever. We can eat vegetables, we can eat meat, we have the freedom. God has ordained that we eat food. Amen or amen?
Amen.
God has ordained that we eat food. We have to have food. We all have to eat, and we have the freedom to eat. You may love Spanish food, or Chinese food, or vegetarian. You may like all kinds of food. I know a brother who likes to put this sriracha hot sauce on everything, including, I don't know if he puts it on salad, but he has the freedom to eat whatever. We have the freedom, but we need to be careful not to abuse the freedom. And this abuse, in their case, was eating things of the idol sacrifices, eating things that would stumble others. There's also an abuse of overeating and damaging our own body. And we all have to guard against that. We have to guard against the abuse of the freedom. And then the second thing is marriage. Praise the Lord for marriage.
Amen.
God has ordained marriage.
Amen.
Not a strong amen, but we get a little bit. God has ordained marriage.
Amen.
And we have the freedom to get married. It's marvelous. Oh, Lord, should I say more? And we're burdened for a lot of you single brothers to be exercised to get married. Don't just sit there and wait for her to fall on your lap, you know. You need to pray and seek the Lord and many good sisters in the church life. Hallelujah. You know, when I was single, a lot of the brothers and sisters, they would come recommend different ones, you know. And my feeling was, all the sisters are wonderful. It doesn't matter. Just find one and get married, you know. Not quite that simple, I found out. But anyway, we have the freedom to get married. And we should be married. For God's purpose, we must be married. We need to get married. Now, there are some, I know, that will have the gift to stay single, and that's wonderful. And I don't want to quench you who have that burden. That's fine. But God has ordained marriage so that man can multiply and propagate. Even in Genesis, he said, fill the earth and subdue it. Marriage is ordained by God. But be careful. The abuse of marriage is fornication. And we are not exempt from this. Of course, the Corinthians had this problem. But even in the churches, you know, serving in the church for these 30-some-odd years, I've seen this. We are not exempt. You have to be exercised and be careful not to fall into this abuse, into this sin. And this chapter mentions a lot about that. Flee fornication. Be careful of fornication. Don't abuse this freedom. God has given us this freedom. These are necessary things. We need to eat. Actually, we all love to eat. We need to eat, but we shouldn't abuse that freedom. And we need to get married, but don't abuse that freedom. This is what Paul is covering and coming to in this chapter. And in these first verses that we read, he mentions these things. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but I won't be brought under the power of anything. And this is a big help. If there are things that we like to do, maybe things that we like to eat. I have experienced this. I just love to eat that. And sometimes I kind of get under the power of that kind of food, you know. And so even though I may have something in my refrigerator for lunch that's just fine, I feel like I need to go out and have a slice of pizza or something else, you know. I'm somewhat under the power of those things. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with pizza. Don't get me wrong. I like pizza. But we shouldn't be brought under the power of anything. If something is hard for you not to do that, you should be careful and pray, Lord, I don't want to be under the power of this thing. I don't want to be under its power. Especially related to the lust of the flesh. It's a strong... Our flesh is strong. And if we're not exercised, that flesh could drag you into lustful things and eventually into this terrible thing of fornication, which it damages our body. And we'll see a little later. Our body is for the Lord. We have to take care of our physical body. You know, we emphasize very much exercise our spirit. We are made of three parts, right? Body, soul, and spirit. And we emphasize this. And we need to emphasize this. And we emphasize the salvation of our soul very much, going through the book of Romans in this past year, and even as we're going through this. Our soul needs to be saved more day by day. We must emphasize, and we must experience the Lord Jesus making his home in our heart and transforming us by the renewing of our mind. We need a change in our thinking. We need to be saved in our soul. But I was struck this week related to our body. Our soul is in our body. And our spirit is also in our body. We need to take care of all three parts. Friday night, one of the brothers mentioned this. The Lord is saving all three parts. So we need to care for all three parts. And this matter of our body is quite striking. You know, Maybe I'll give you a little example or a testimony. You know, sometimes we like to go someplace and we have the freedom to go there. And we may be going there, and on the way there, we have some feeling maybe not to go there today. Maybe not. This is something of the Lord's speaking to us in our spirit. We have the freedom, but it may not be profitable. We have the freedom, but spending time in that place may not be profitable for the building up of the body. And it could distract us, and it could damage us in some ways. So we have to be careful. You know, wherever I go, I take the Lord with me. And so do you. Wherever you go. I remember one testimony. You know, in the, I don't know, maybe how, 15 or 20 years ago, the trainings were longer. The semi-annual trainings. They were 10 days. And so we went out to Anaheim, you spent 10 days there. And I remember a sister, you know, and those 10 days were glorious, and she was in the training, and she was so infused with the Lord and with the Word, and she was so happy, you know. But she realized her soul was a bit starved during the training. She was getting fed in her spirit, but her, you know, her soul. So she wanted to take the next day off and go to the beach. She was in California. Why not? Let's go to the beach, you know. And there's nothing sinful about the beach. I'm not condemning the beach, but anyway, she wanted to go to the beach, and so she went off, and she went to the beach, and when she was there, she just felt the Lord in her say, I don't want to be at the beach right now. I don't want to be here right now. When you go to the beach, you take the Lord with you. Maybe he wants to go. Maybe he doesn't want to go. I remember when I was in college, I went to this party, and all my friends were going. And I went to this party. I had a very clear experience of the Lord. When I got to that place, the Lord inside told me, get out of here. I took him with me. I didn't realize he was with me. Sometimes we don't, you know. We love that the Lord is in us. Praise the Lord. We're all rejoicing at the table. He is in us. But sometimes we go somewhere and we go, Lord, I don't want you to go with me here. Just stay home. I'm going over here to this place, you know. We don't want the Lord there because he may bother you being there. You want to have fun there, but the Lord is with you. I think Psalm 139 brings this up. Where shall I go from your spirit? Where can, I can't get away from you, right? If I ascend to the heavens, you are there. Then it says, if I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. I don't know where Sheol is. But it sounds like it's not a great place. Even you go, and in my experience, go to that party. That was really an evil party. And even I go there, the Lord is there. And sometimes we don't sense the Lord. Even, you know, we go to the meeting and we don't really feel the Lord is with us. You go to Sheol, the Lord is then you really find out the Lord is with you. He says, get out of here. Don't go there. Because we've taken our body there. We take the Lord with us there. So it's if, our body is very important as well as our soul and our spirit. And I think maybe some more will come out about this. Now, in this chapter, there are three crucial items. The first is in verse 15. Second is in verse 17. And then in verse 19. How about we read verse 15, 17 and 19. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Absolutely not. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? You are not your own. These three verses mention these three crucial points. Our bodies are members of Christ. There is no other place in the New Testament that puts it this way. Your body is a member of Christ. And on Friday night, one of the brothers brought this out. I can't understand this. My body is a sinful flesh. How can my sinful flesh be a member of Christ? But this is what the Bible says. This is not our teaching. This is what is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Your body is a member of Christ. And I think if we look at it in this way, it may help a bit. Of course, the Lord created us human beings with a body. And we can only live on this earth with a body. And when we get saved, we are a member of the body of Christ. But that includes your body. And eventually, one day, your body will be fully saved. And I don't know about you, but I usually don't think too much about this aspect of God's organic salvation. I'm more focused on my soul being saved. Because our body will be saved, it will be transfigured in an instant, at the last trumpet, when the Lord comes. So I don't really think much about how am I, experiencing. But Romans 8 says that He gives life to your mortal body. So we do experience our body being saved to a certain degree. We've given this example. I think maybe you've experienced this. You come to the meeting, you may be very tired, especially an evening meeting. My experience, the prayer meeting particularly. You may come after a long day and you're tired, but you pray with the saints for an hour and 15, 20 minutes, and you leave the meeting not so tired. You are energized. Why? Because there was life imparted into your mortal body. So we can experience life to our mortal body right now. But eventually, in the future, our body will be transfigured. And just to be the same body as the Lord. Now, I didn't put this verse up for the brothers, but I want to read you 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. 1 John 3, 2 says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been manifested what we will be. We know that if He is manifested, we will be like Him, because we will see Him even as He is." At that time, it's easy for us to understand. Our body is a member of Christ. We will be just like Him. We will be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son of God. Our body is a member of Christ. Amen. The second verse that is we're touching here in these three crucial points is, "He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit." Also, this phrase, this kind of utterance of being one with the Lord, is only mentioned in this verse in the whole New Testament. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And often I have thought of this as, my spirit is one spirit with the Lord. But this isn't what the verse says. It says that He is joined to the Lord. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. We are one with the Lord. And our spirit is one with the Lord. In fact, our spirit and the Holy Spirit are one spirit. We are a mingled spirit. And recently, this came out in the meetings here, I was enjoying this, that our mingled spirit is not just an individual matter. It's not just that Frank's spirit is mingled with the Lord and Ed's spirit is mingled with the Lord. Yes, that's true. But corporately, our spirit is mingled with the Lord's Spirit. We have a corporate mingled spirit. And we experience the Spirit not only individually. We need to experience the Lord as the Spirit individually, but we also experience Him as the Spirit corporately. When we're together in the home meetings and the church meetings, we are one spirit with the Lord. Amen. And this is mysterious. It's not so easy to understand. But it is a crucial item in this chapter. And we need to study this. We need to dive into this. We need to experience this. And even in the life study, Brother Lee uses this word, you need to experiment how to be one spirit with the Lord in your speaking to others. How can we practice and experience being one spirit with the Lord in making decisions, in working in the workplace and with your coworkers, in the family life, interacting with your spouse, with the children? We have to learn to experience being one spirit with the Lord. Amen. And I feel this just takes practice. There's no kind of teaching how to do this. It just takes practice. Of course, we have to see it first. We have to realize we're joined to the Lord. We're one spirit with Him. And we need to live a life that is one spirit with the Lord. When I came into the church life and began to see some of these things and realized that Christ is the head of the church, right? And we are all members of His body. And this illustration of, you know, even using the human body was very significant to me and really changed my Christian life. And I saw something, I don't know whether you want to say I saw a vision or a revelation, but I realized that this, what's the right word, supersedes, this negates any kind of hierarchy in the church life. Every one of us has a direct line to the head of the body, Christ. Every one of us is directly under the authority of Christ. He is the King to every one of us individually. And we don't need one another to tell one another what to do. We need to ask the Lord what to do. And we need to learn to follow Him. Learn to seek His leading. Learn to live joined to the Lord, one spirit. And I just thought that is the most tremendous kind of vision. The Lord wants to move. How can He move? He only can move in the principle of incarnation, which means He only can preach the gospel through you. Last night we had a glorious gospel meeting, Spanish gospel meeting. I don't know if you were there, if some of you were there, but anyway, we had a glorious gospel meeting.
Amen.
Amen, right?
Amen.
We had, I think, 60 or 70 saints there and friends, 15 friends. 8 got saved and 6 were baptized. It was really wonderful. And I don't know how many of us were on the translation, you know, the headphones. A lot of the Chinese young people were there, and Maria Ai and Shirley Wong, the two Shirley Wongs were both there. And we were, you know, getting translation for the meeting. It was really, really glorious. And that's how the Lord is preaching the gospel, through us, through the members of His body. So we need a direct relationship, and we need to be following Him individually and corporately. This is a marvelous thing. I don't have the utterance to describe it. There is an entity in this universe that is called the body of Christ. And it is real. It is actual. It may not be that easy to see it. Many of our friends who are not believers, probably they have no clue, they can't understand this. And even we ourselves sometimes, we may not realize what we are in, what we are a part of. But we are members of Christ.
Amen.
We are joined to the Lord, one spirit.
Amen.
And we need to labor to, I don't know, maybe that's not the best word. We need to practice. We need to exercise in little things every day to be one spirit with the Lord.
Amen.
And allow Him to speak to us. Allow Him to say no to us. And obey that no. That's the authority. Many times we want to do something and inwardly we have a no. We have a feeling. A red light is there. Don't disregard that. That is a treasure. Only a Christian can have that kind of experience. We need to treasure that and learn to follow that, to live a life joined to the Lord, one spirit. You know, the Lord has blessed us in the church in New York City over these years, and I'm sure we all have that realization. And in 2015, this burden the brothers have shared with us about being enlarged and expanded, the Lord really has answered those prayers. And I don't know about you, but I'm so encouraged at what the Lord has done. But recently, in this past week, we've had more fellowship concerning looking forward, not just looking. We thank the Lord for what He's done, but how about 2016? And there are some specific areas that the brothers fellowship with us, and I just think it's very inspiring. It's very touching that the Lord is burdened in so many of these areas, and I am really praying and trusting that the Lord will cause all of us to rise up to function, that we could be one with the Lord, joined to the Lord, one spirit with the Lord, that He could carry out whatever He wants to do in the church here. Amen. We have so many languages here, so many ethnicities here in this city. We should have myriads of more saints from all kinds of backgrounds blended into oneness in the one body of Christ. But that will take the Lord working through us. To accomplish that, to carry that out, we need to be those who are exercised. And we need to be those who are consecrated to the Lord for this coming year. So that I know we've had many consecrations in the last month. I hope these will continue throughout these coming last weeks of this year and the beginning of next year. We need specific consecration for so many items in the Lord's recovery, so many items in the church here that the Lord is burdened for. And that we may have in the past somewhat neglected a little bit or felt like, oh, I can't help with that. No, that is a lie. All of us can at least pray for that. Amen. We may not speak Spanish, but we can pray for the Spanish-speaking saints. We may not speak this language, but we can pray for them. Korean, Chinese, English, we may not. That's okay. And we may not be able, because of our situation, to be at different places at different times when the Lord... But we can pray for the saints to go there and take care of that need. And we can join one another in prayer and fellowship and even pray with one another together for these burdens. We need a consecration to give ourselves for these things. Then the third crucial point is in verse 19, right? Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? This phrase, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you have from God, is the third crucial point in this chapter, which is not mentioned anywhere else in the New Testament. The temple of God and the church is the temple of God, that's mentioned in other places. But this point, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, is a very particular verse in the New Testament, only found here. And I have to confess, you know, when we got to 1 Corinthians 6, I was not really looking forward too much to what was in this chapter. Because there seems to me a lot of negative things in this chapter. They're suing each other and asking, you know, demanding they get their rights. And then, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, I've always loved verse 17. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. But I always hated the context that verse 17 is in. Right. I just didn't like to read those verses. You know, I mean, it's in this terrible thing as you... I mean, verse 15 just always... I just didn't like to read it. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall then I take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? I don't even want to read it. Absolutely not. Then, or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute is one body? For he says... Two shall be one flesh. I don't like to think about this. It's such a negative con. Then, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Hallelujah! Amen. I love to pray read that. I have to confess, I don't think I can pray read, you know. It's hard. And then the next verse, flee fornication. Right? Every sin which a man must do is outside the body, but he who commits fornication sins against his own body. It's such a negative context that this verse is in. But this week, I just pray, Lord, I want to overcome my thoughts about this. And to put these three together was very, very helpful. Paul is warning us against the abuse of this freedom to marry. And he's warning us that our body is crucial. It's a member of Christ. And it is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we need to take care of our body. Now, I hope, brothers and sisters, you don't... I mean, I'm not preaching health food or, I'm not against health food either. But I'm not talking about that. And, I'm not preaching we all need to go to the gym 3 hours a day and pump iron. And, I'm not against that. But I want to bring this point out that I feel the Lord spoke to me this week. We need to take care of our body, soul, and spirit. We need to take care of our whole being. Of course, I know many of us realize, Lord, we want to eat healthy, we want to exercise, we want to take care of our health because we want to live longer for the Lord's purpose. We want Him to accomplish whatever He needs to accomplish in us. And that's right. That's really true. But in this chapter, these problems that the Corinthians had experienced, we are not exempt from them. We may not have exactly the same situation here at this time, but the Church of God, the Church of God, is not exempt from these living in the soul and having preferences and the lust of the flesh. That was a terrible sin, that matter of incest. But anyway, the lust of the flesh, we're not exempt from. And demanding our rights, we want what is ours, we're not exempt from this. And even in this, abusing the freedom to eat and to marry, we're not exempt. We need to be exercised to overcome these things. And Paul, such a wise master builder, I was so thankful for this chapter. Paul, to solve all of these problems, brings us back to the central line of God's economy. And I hope that none of us will ever deviate from this central line, which is just the process triune God dispensed into our spirit for us to experience and to enjoy day by day. The only way to overcome the abuse of these freedoms is to enjoy the Lord. And I know I've said that before, the brothers have said that before. I hope you don't think, oh, here we go again, enjoy the Lord. Well, here we go again, enjoy the Lord. We need to enjoy the Lord. And we need to exercise our marvelous mingled spirit. Now, I think I did bring up these three verses, right, brothers? John 3:6, John 4:24, and Romans 8:15 and 16. For the sake of the new ones, I thought it's good for you to see. There are these three verses that mention both the divine spirit and the human spirit. Let's read John 3:6 first. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And here you see in English a capital S and the small s, spirit. I don't know how they do this in Chinese. You don't have capital letters, right? So anyway, he that is born of the spirit, that is the Holy Spirit. When you were regenerated, if there are any here this morning that were here last night and you got saved last night, you were born of the Spirit last night. And where? In your spirit. And now the Holy Spirit is dwelling in your spirit. And even your body is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit who is within you. So this verse mentions the Holy Spirit and the human spirit. And then the next verse, let's read that one. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit. This is very clear. God is spirit. That's, of course, the Holy Spirit. And we who worship Him must worship using our human spirit to contact Him, to pray to Him, to fellowship with Him, and to enjoy Him. Then the Romans 8:15 and 16. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, bringing you into again, but you have received spirit of sonship, in which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. Verse 16 is the clearest verse because it clearly says, the Spirit Himself, referring to the Holy Spirit, witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. So these verses, and there are others that talk about our human spirit, of course, but these verses mention both the divine spirit and the human spirit. And today, when we contact our human spirit, we contact the divine spirit. There's no other way. You can't avoid contacting the Holy Spirit if you contact your spirit. Because the Holy Spirit and your human spirit are mingled together. They are one spirit. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So, you know, many of us probably are the same. I got saved when I was very young in a denomination, and I did not know I had a human spirit. And I wouldn't say I never contacted the Lord. I believe I did several times over those years, my early years as a teenager and so forth. But I couldn't do it at will, or, you know, when I couldn't always do it when I needed to do it because I didn't know how to do it. But when I touched the church life and came into the church life, and the brothers helped me with these verses and helped me to realize you have a human spirit. And you can touch the Lord any time of any day and any place. You can turn to the Lord in your spirit. Amen. That revolutionized my Christian experience. And I gave you testimony, you know, many times. I'm having a hard day. You know, I'm looking for work and on the subway, and it's, you know, like 108 degrees and on the one train in Manhattan, and I'm, you know, this is before they were all air conditioned, by the way. And I'm there having a hard time, and I need the Lord. And so I just, you know, would cry out, call on the Lord, especially when the train's coming in. You can call on the Lord as loud as you want. When the train's coming into the station, nobody will hear you but God, and hopefully yourself. And touch the Spirit, and found there's a supply there.
Amen.
There's a supply. I was down. I was discouraged. I can't find a job today. I'm discouraged. But contact the Spirit, and there's encouragement. And there's supply. There's grace. There's everything we need to go on in the Christian life. We have a marvelous, mingled spirit.
Amen.
So we need to be exercised, brothers and sisters, to live a life. Our body is joined to Christ. We are joined to the Lord, one spirit. Our bodies are members of Christ. We're joined to the Lord, one spirit. And our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and we should take care of our body. Now, I'd like to end with Romans 12, 1 and 2. And before we read it, I just want to give a little introduction, and we'll close with that. I hope you have plenty of time to share. I mentioned earlier that the brothers have had some fellowship with us, and yesterday we had a tremendous time of fellowship, and the brothers are giving us some very precious, I believe, opening the heart of God for the church here in New York City to enter into next year with this kind of view that there are many areas of the church life that we can practice and actually blaze a trail in that area. Now, this is an English idiom, trail blazing. But I thought it was quite apropos. There are areas when maybe not a lot of the churches have, you know, tried to take this way to gain more of this culture or of that ethnicity or age group, or there are different areas. The church life is made up of many languages, many age groups, many needs, many races, many peoples, and that is the body of Christ. This is the one new man, where eventually by believing in Christ and being crucified with Christ, there is no Spanish or Chinese or American or English, or all are one in Christ.
Amen.
There is only Christ in the church, the Christ in you and the Christ in me. Even the Bible says in the one new man, there's no male or female. Okay? In Christ, we are all just one. But there are different areas and different needs that must be met in the church and must be cared for in the church. And so the brothers have fellowship with us and helped us in a few of these areas. The first one came out on Labor Day in Houston, Texas. We had a conference, and that conference was related to the burden for the African Americans in this country. And many places, you know, the church here is really blessed. We have a lot of dear African American saints, black saints. We have a lot of them, and it's wonderful. And this was actually brought out that weekend, that the church in New York has probably more African Americans in the church life than any other church in this country. So I think that's one of the reasons the brothers felt we need to pick up the charge to be burdened for these dear saints, and to be burdened particularly in the gospel for the increase among this group of people. And it may be a complicated situation, and I'm not here to talk about that, but I believe the Lord is able. And the Lord is able to help us to trailblaze in this area. The co-workers and the brothers in the Lord's recovery have asked us, how about the next conference for this burden? Could it be in New York? And the brothers are very open. No problem. You just let us know. So we may host the next conference for this burden. And we don't have time to get into the details, but I feel like this is a rare opportunity. It's a golden opportunity for us to take the lead, as the church, to take the lead, to try to enter into this burden and find the way. How do you contact them? How do you reach them? How do you understand them? And I confess, I don't think I understand them that well at all. This is and this is the same for any kind of, area of ethnicity or area of society, immigrant group or non-immigrant group in this country. We probably don't understand one another that well. But here's an opportunity to find out a way and to help to get a way that we can preach the gospel to and gain more people from this community and trailblaze. Amen. Cut the way for that. And for this, brothers, we need a specific consecration. We need a specific consecration. And the second area they brought up is the Spanish-speaking work and the Spanish-speaking gospel. We all need to dive in and to participate in this burden. We have a lot of Spanish-speaking saints in the church here throughout all the districts. And this is another thing I think that came out yesterday morning. We need to look beyond our home meeting, beyond our district, beyond our locality even, to the other churches in the region. And we need to labor together and blend together to carry out some of these burdens. And I think last night was a good beginning, Brother Ed. A very good beginning. We had this gospel meeting. We've been burdened for this. We're contacting all the saints who may be bilingual, who may have, Spanish relatives and so forth, to come and join together to preach the gospel. And if you were here last night, you witnessed what a marvelous gospel meeting. And what a marvelous atmosphere. Full of life, full of the Spirit, and the outcome was just so tremendous, I'll just confess, before the meeting, last week, one brother told me there were two saints who wanted to be baptized this Saturday. And I said, great, bring them to the Spanish gospel meeting. We'll get them, at least they'll get baptized, We have two to start. I think they were probably Asian saints, So anyway, I said, it doesn't matter. Just bring them. We'll baptize them, And then I found out yesterday morning that those saints weren't going to come because they were waiting for their aunt to come to witness their baptism, which is fine. And so, but anyway, I was concerned. Oh, Lord, the baptism. We need some baptized. And we had 8 saved and 6 got baptized. It was glorious. It was really glorious. And the saints from Nutley came. They supported, right? And there was a couple from Nutley that got baptized.
6 came
from Nutley, and 1 couple got baptized from Nutley, right? It was really marvelous, really, really marvelous. But anyway, there is a need to, strengthen the Spanish-speaking saints, not just here in New York. We have some in all the regions, in all the districts, but even to blend together, especially for the outreach and for the increase among the Spanish-speaking. New York is 25% Spanish-speaking in population. And we don't yet have 25% of the saints who are Spanish-speaking. Be good to have more, right? We need to labor in this area. The third area they mentioned was the Korean-speaking saints. And we have a good number of Korean-speaking saints. We always have. And they're struggling with the gospel, how to, preach the gospel. And so we want to strengthen them. We want to get together with them, pray with them, strengthen them, and hopefully they will set a date soon for the next Korean-speaking gospel meeting and labor with them to gain more Koreans in this city. I think we all know there are many, many Koreans in this city. Many. And we need to strengthen them and labor with them. And, in this context, it wasn't mentioned yesterday, but we have been praying and laboring very much for those of Indian descent, from what many different countries, because you know, now many come here to Queens, to Belrose and Floral Park. We need to pray for them. Many Hindus and maybe many that don't really practice, but we need to also pray for this group of people. They're right here in our front yard. I mean, you know, they're right here. We need to take care of them. But the last thing the brothers mention is related to, and they mention it this way, maybe most importantly, is the English-speaking gospel meeting. Now, I just want to say this. Personally, for the English-speaking gospel, I really appreciate all the strengthening from the Chinese-speaking saints and all the encouragement. And we have seen a great improvement, and we've been baptizing 5 or 6 every month when we have the gospel meeting. But in this past month, especially when Brother Andrew was here, I was struck, we need to have an English gospel meeting every month. And we had a lunch with the leading brothers, and I told them this. I said, brothers, the church in New York now, in 2016, we will have an English gospel meeting every month.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Probably the third Saturday, something like this.
Amen.
And yesterday, the brothers really, I was very encouraged by the brothers' fellowship. They felt, we need to turn this burden of the English gospel over to the young adults. So I'm not going to preach the gospel in the English gospel meeting anymore. Hallelujah! Not because I don't like preaching the gospel. I love preaching the gospel. But I'll preach it at dinner time and let the young brothers preach it in the meeting. We want to let them take the whole thing, coordinate everything, take over the whole thing. All the young brothers and sisters, young working saints, even the college saints can help. We want them to pick up this burden. And the way they work it out, we'll see, you know. It doesn't mean every month here. It means every month. So 1 month might be in Manhattan, 1 month in Brooklyn, and maybe 2 months here. You know, somehow we'll work it out. And we also have been supporting the English Gospel Meeting in New Jersey, at Rutgers, and in Piscataway. This goes beyond church boundary here in locality. It goes beyond state boundary. We are very close to this, to the saints in New Jersey. So anyway, this is part of the fellowship from yesterday. I'd like to bring you up to date and end with these verses because we need a clear and specific consecration.
Amen.
We cannot carry out these things without a consecration. If we consecrate ourselves to the Lord, and specifically for these things, to pray, to go, to help, to cook for the love feast, to bring our Korean friends and Spanish friends and every, you know, so forth, to bring them to the gospel meeting, to be burdened for other, you know, other communities of people, not just our own, that we need a consecration for this. So let's read Romans 1 and 2, and then maybe we can pray to consecrate ourselves, and then we'll give the rest of the time to you. I exhort you, therefore, brothers, through the compassions of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be fashioned according to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what the will of God is. I think we have some announcements first.
First of all, First of all, we'd like to welcome those who are here for the first time.
Amen.
If you would please stand up, tell us your name and where you're from. Anywhere, please stand up so we can acknowledge you.
Amen.
Amen.
My name is Qing Qing Zhou.
Amen.
I come from Jiang Wan High School.
Amen.
Amen.
Welcome.
Welcome. Any more? Ah, good.
Amen.
Hello everyone, my name is Hua Zhou. I came from China, Shandong, and this is my first time here.
Amen.
Welcome.
Welcome. Any more?
Oh. 啊，我叫曹福林，来自中国。
Uh-huh. Amen.
Amen. 感谢主。
My name is Sheng Chang. I come from Jamba High School.
Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Any more? Wonderful. We have some very important announcements. Please listen carefully. First of all, we have good news.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The camp in Kingston is coming forward.
Amen.
It's just a matter of time. So, what does that mean? That means now is the time for you to offer. We need 2.7 million. And you can make the check to the church and just says Penwell Project. Penwell Project. Okay.
But and Kingston Camp is fine too.
Yeah, yeah, if you prefer Kingston Camp. Now, if you want to put the whole thing, Penwell Blending Center.
Amen.
Amen. So, then we need to also pick up your morning watch sheets. We're having a review of 1 Corinthians chapter 4 through 6. Finally, now is the late registration for the video training.
Amen.
You can sign up today. And now we will sing. We will sing a hymn, and after that, we will, those going to the language meetings will do so, and those here will have a time to share. So we're going to sing 452. 452. And while we sing, we'll go to the language meetings, and then it's your turn to share.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.